Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I wonder how many of you are worried right now about something or someone, where your mind is racing to all the different what-if scenarios that can happen, and most of them leading your thoughts to worst-case scenarios. And when we start to worry about something, our thoughts and imagination can get pretty creative of what may or may not happen. And as we go down these never-ending rabbit trails of what-ifs, we get restless. There's this burden and there's this heaviness on us as we become fearful of all that might happen or won't happen. And if you do worry, know that you are not alone. According to a Gallup poll taken in 2018, Americans are among the most stressed people in the world. The New York Times actually wrote an article on these findings saying that Americans reported feeling stress, anger, and worry at the highest levels in a decade. But note that this survey was taken before the pandemic. So if Americans were among the most stressed and worried people in the world before the pandemic, we can only imagine what that is like now. But it's ironic that America, being a first world country, having all the educational, medical, and material resources at its disposal, and being one of the most affluent and powerful societies in the world, is also one of the most worried and stress-filled society in the world. And people are trying to find ways to cope. According to the CDC, opioid use among Americans is steadily on the rise, and so are deaths from such uses. And according to the World Health Organization, mental health conditions are increasing worldwide, including in the US. People are worried and they don't know how to overcome their worry. We worry about the economy and if we'll ever have enough money. We worry about our health or the health and well-being of someone else that we care about. We worry if we will find a job or if we can even keep our job. We worry about our safety and the safety of the others that we love. We worry about the direction of our nation and the direction of all the other nations. We worry if we are going to get married, or we worry if we will stay married. We worry about our kids and our family members. We worry about anything and everything. You name it, and we can probably worry about it. In fact, many of us are worried about so many things in our lives that we are overwhelmed all the time and we have no peace. And we think that this is natural because everybody worries about something. And so we just do what everybody else does. But worry is no fun because it is killing our joy, it is stealing our peace, and it is stunting our relationship with God. On top of that, our worry is infectious because when we worry, we now can cause others around us to worry as well, because we become an anxious presence, which can cause others to now be anxious. So what worry thoughts are plaguing you today? You know, we're in the last part of our sermon series called Winning the War in Your Mind. Change your thinking, change your life. Inspired by the book by Pastor Craig Rochelle, because we all have unhealthy thought patterns of self-doubt and negative thinking that affect us, our outlook on life, how we treat people, and even how we view God. And this even includes how we deal with worry. And many times we use the words worry and anxiety interchangeably, but they're really two different things. There's a whole spectrum of where people fall into when it comes to worry and anxiety. For some, it's minor and it doesn't even affect the person's day-to-day responsibilities. But for others, it's major and it can actually paralyze and strike relentless fear in the person. So for today's sermon, I'm going to try to simplify this. We tend to experience worry with the different thoughts in our mind. But when we excessively worry and hold on to it, anxiety can develop that manifests into physical symptoms. We can't sleep, our heart races, we can't concentrate, we have little appetite or maybe even an increased appetite, there's headaches, there's stomach aches, and it even affects our bowel movements. So whether you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus or not, worry actually affects all of us in some way. But I also want to note that for some, maybe you've been struggling with an anxiety disorder for a long time, which has required you to consult doctors and seek the proper medication in order to help to keep it manageable. And I'm so glad that you're doing that. But also know that when you face added unknown circumstances, your worry can actually go through the roof. So regardless of whether our anxiety is caused by circumstances or a more serious disorder, God wants us to know that we can take measures so that our worry doesn't get the best of us. And this sermon will specifically address what we can do to care for the spiritual aspect of our lives, which influences all the other areas of our lives. And we battle with worry because at the core, it comes from our sin nature that fights for control and independence from God. So if we imagine how things should turn out, but it doesn't look that way, we will worry in order to try to control so that we can get the outcomes that we desire. And in doing so, it causes us more stress and more worry until we get what we want. And we may get what we want in one area of our lives, but what about all the other areas of our lives, our finances, our relationships, our vocation, our health, our future? And since we are sinners, our default is to go away from God and what He wants and to try to take control in order to get what we want. So instead of faith in Him, we end up defaulting to fear. Instead of trusting in Him, we default to control. Instead of peace in Him, we default to worry. And worry is linked to how we think, because the more often we think a thought, whether it's true or not, the more we will continue to think that way again and again. So when we worry, we go down these rabbit trails of worry and negativity. In fact, science shows us that it actually strengthens and solidifies these neural pathways in our brain so that worry and negative thinking becomes our default way of thinking whenever something happens. So when we worry, we are actually training our brains to worry and to try to control even more. And Paul, a follower of Jesus who we have been learning about throughout this whole series, talks about how our sinful nature affects how we think and how we function. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Based on how we think will determine where our mindset is. Is it controlled by our sinful nature or by God's Spirit? So worry, control, taking matters into our own hands are all evidence that we are still thinking and functioning out of our sinful nature. Whereas trust and surrender to God is evidence that we are thinking and functioning from God's Spirit and living out our true and godly self. And every day, moment by moment, our mind is this battleground where our sinfulness and the Spirit of God fight. And when our minds are set on the things that cause us to worry and try to take control, we end up going further away from God and thus bringing death into our lives. But thinking about things that please God actually takes us closer to God, and that always brings us life and peace because our lives follow the direction of our greatest thoughts, which means that we need to learn to control our thoughts, or else our thoughts will control us. And Paul was someone who had every reason to worry. Paul's story can be found in the New Testament of the Bible, and he was someone who hated Jesus and anyone who followed him. Paul was so convinced that this Jesus movement was causing more harm than good that he went on a mission to end it forever. He would arrest Christians and even kill them until one day he met the resurrected Jesus and became one of Jesus' most devoted followers. Now, instead of trying to end the Jesus movement, Paul continued it, doing whatever he could to spread this message of love and transformation to others. So he went on these missionary journeys in order to start churches all over the region so people could know Jesus and their lives could be changed. But during such missionary journeys, Paul faced so many situations and obstacles that from the outside looking in should have caused him to worry. He had stones thrown at him. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked, not just once, but three times. He was left out in the open sea to die. He was threatened and made fun of. He was whipped and constantly thrown in jail, and all for being a follower of Jesus. In the scripture I read earlier, Paul now finds himself under house arrest in Macedonia, which is a province of Rome. And he was awaiting trial, not knowing whether he was going to die or not for preaching about Jesus. But in spite of all that Paul has faced and what he was about to face, Paul had joy and a perspective on God that gave him peace regardless of what situation he was facing. That even though his body was captive behind bars, his mind was free. And while in prison, Paul writes a letter to a church in Philippi because they were worried about what would happen to him. But he was not worried at all. They were stressed about the future, but he was not stressed, although he was the one who was in prison. In fact, he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." See, usually when we are worried about something, it is because we are being consumed by what may or may not happen in the circumstance that we're facing. So our happiness or peace is really based on how things turn out in the situation that we face. So if things turn out the way that we want, then, well, we are happy. But if things are not turning out the way that we want them to turn out, well, then we are not happy. But Paul's reminding the Philippian believers, and he's also reminding us, that no matter what happens, that there is nothing to be worried about because the Lord is near. The title Lord referred to Jesus as a way of acknowledging his deity, which means Jesus is God and master over everything. He has supreme authority and is sovereign in heaven and on earth, and is even sovereign over our circumstances and our outcomes. And if you consider him to be your Lord, then this master over all things, including your unknowns, is near you. You know, I didn't start growing height-wise until my senior year of high school, which meant that as a freshman in high school, I was really small and at times would get bullied by some of the upperclassman in school. But John, who was one of my best friends, was also an upperclassman. And no one in school messed with John. And I loved when John would walk with me in the hallways in school because no one messed with me because he was right there with me. John was near me. But Paul is saying that Jesus, who is much greater than John and who is invincible, is near you at all times, which means that we can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the fact that the most powerful being is with you and for you. Rejoice because the greatest than the greatness of God becomes the filter through which you see your circumstances and your unknowns. So think on this, that everything in your world is in God's hands. So you do not need to worry. Because every time we worry, we are creating these neural pathways in our brain that say, God, I don't trust you. So in order to help us have a visual of what it means to put our trust in the Lord, I have here a box that represents the things that we worry about. Because we have so many of them, don't we? And this box is big because we have a lot of big worries. But I also have another box that has God on it. And you can notice that the God box is so much smaller than the worry box. And that is because for many of us, we view God as small and our worries as big. And when we try to give God our worries, well, we think that he's too small to handle it. And so we don't give our worries to him. And instead, what do? We hold on to them. But what if your view of God changed and you started to see him as bigger than your worries and your worries smaller in light of how big God is? And once you see God as the Lord, your sovereign and invincible master who cares for you and loves you, you can start to trust him to take care of all the different things that you worry about. So it's making the decision that I am going to put everything, including my life, into the Lord's hands as I trust him with all. So you are trusting your money and your financial future in the Lord. You're trusting your family in the Lord. Your health and that upcoming surgery that you are about to have, while you're trusting all of that in the Lord. You're trusting your job and the uncertainty behind everything with your career, and that is all in the Lord. You're trusting your education and your future and where it's all gonna lead you, and you're trusting that in the Lord. You're trusting all your unknowns in the Lord. You're trusting the nation that you love and your worries about what will happen, and that is in the Lord. You are making a choice to surrender everything in your life in the Lord, and when you are putting all of these things in the Lord, you are saying, God, I am going to trust that you are the master and the Lord and that you will take care of it, which means I don't have to keep worrying about it. But do you know what we have the tendency to do? When we give it over and trust it to be in the Lord, after a few moments, we start to take it back. And when we do this, we are basically trusting in ourselves again to handle what we are now holding on to. Knowing that we don't want to worry and hold on to these things, we are making the decision to give it back to the Lord so that we can be free from worry. And if you do take it back, this physical act, the physical act of taking it back will remind you that you are trying to control again. And we don't want that because we have seen where our worry takes us to places where we don't want to be. Because we're trying to change our default thinking, then the act of surrendering is now creating new neural pathways that I can trust God with this and with that and with everything in my life. I don't need to try to control. That is why, having this perspective, Paul can say, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we learned some practical things we can do from what Paul says. In fact, Pastor Rick Warren has a simple way of helping us to remember what Paul is saying from this text. He's saying, do not worry about anything. Pray about everything and give thanks in all things. Paul's saying, don't worry about anything, because if your life is really in the Lord, He will take care of you. If what you're worried about is in the Lord, He will take care of that as well. So what do we learn? That if we are worried about something, then it is worth praying about that something. Are you worried about your family member? Well, then pray for your family member. God help them. Or God reveal yourself to them. Or God change them. Are you worried about your job? Well, then pray for your job. God help me to be the best worker that I can be so that you get the glory. God, whatever happens with my job, I'm going to trust you with my future and I'm going to trust you with my finances. If you're worried about an unknown, then why think about it internally alone and try to figure it out alone when you can just tell the Lord who is near and who wants to help you? Why keep it all in when you can let it all out to Him? Because if it's worth worrying about, then it's worth praying about. And this has helped me to fix my thoughts on the God who loves me and who is near to me. Anytime I have the inclination to worry, I say, God, I am worried about this because... And then I trusted in the Lord. Every time we worry, it is an invitation for us to trust. You don't know the unknowns, but God knows the unknowns. You don't determine the outcomes, but you can trust the one who determines the outcomes. You may not be able to change anything by worrying, but God can change something with His power. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Now, this doesn't mean that you just pray about it and do nothing, but it does mean that you do what you can do and need to do to the best of your ability and then trust in God with what you cannot do. So if there are aspects of your marriage that you are worried about, well, then figure out what are the things that you can do, like having good communication and agreeing on expectations, is forgiving each other, keeping short accounts. Those are things that you can very well do. But can you change your spouse? No. But that is something that God can choose to do, or alternatively, God can choose to change you. Can you eat right, exercise, get proper sleep, take necessary medications? Yes. Those are all things that you can do. But what happens to your health in the future? Or how are you going to heal from an ailment? Well, that is something that only God can do. So there's no need to worry about things that you can do because you can just do them. But if there are things that you can't do and you're worried about, well, then pray about them and commit them into God's hands. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. I have a friend who is in first grade, and when he doesn't know what to do, he says, well, we'll just tell God to handle it. So whatever we are worried about, tell God to handle it. So don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Then Paul says, give thanks in all things. In his letter to the church of Thessalonica, Paul wrote, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Now it helps to remember that Paul is not saying to give thanks for everything that happens to you, but in all things or in everything, this is an important distinction. For example, it doesn't mean to be thankful for a disease or a calamity, but if we face a tough situation like a sickness, it is important to have a grateful and positive heart that thanks God for the life that we do have and the other blessings and the lessons that He's teaching us in our present situation. See, many times when we face tough times, we're so focused on what is happening or what we lost and we are worried about the outcomes. But Paul is telling us to count the blessings in our life. Focus on Him and give thanks to God for what we do have left, what is still going well. Because when we give thanks, we start to recall and think of the ways that God has provided before and that He will do so again. And we see that even though Paul experienced deep suffering while he was in chains, his thankful attitude gave him perspective that God is near him and that God is still in control, so he doesn't need to worry. Paul thanked God for his life, the opportunity to know Christ, and the chance to preach God's word even while he was experiencing dire circumstances such as imprisonment and other persecutions. The practice of gratitude helps us to keep positive about what God is doing in our lives, and it reminds us of the blessings we have. One thing that I do daily that helps to prevent me from falling into a negative mindset is to take a simple inventory of what I do have in life that is going well and to give thanks to God for it. I'm thankful for the people in my life, like my wife, my family, my friends, my dog. I'm thankful for the church and the people that God has brought and is bringing into this community. I'm thankful for taste buds to taste food that I eat. I'm thankful that I have breath because it means that I still have purpose here on earth. One practice you can do is to get a piece of paper. And something that you can do is to write that on that piece of paper and set a timer for 10 minutes. And during those 10 minutes, is just listing down everything that you can think of that you are thankful to God for, despite whatever is happening in your life. Then when you're done with this exercise, the thing that you were so focused on and worried about that's bringing you down, well, that doesn't cloud your perspective. Because you can now see all the other blessings that are currently happening in your life. And when we get into the routine of not worrying about anything, praying about everything, and giving thanks in all things, then this is what supernaturally happens. Paul says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is a peace that surpasses all understanding because your trust is in God and your perspective has shifted from the circumstances that worries you to the Lord that your life is secure in. You have a perspective that He will handle it and He will fight battles that you can't fight. So this peace is an inward peace of the soul. Is knowing that you are dependent on an omnipotent, gracious, and loving Father. But this peace only comes when we are in relationship with Jesus. Paul continues saying, "Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Give thanks in all things and fix your mind on good things." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If there's something to worry about, we can somehow find a way to worry about it. But we don't have to choose to think that way anymore, go down these useless rabbit trails of worry. We can instead choose to let our minds dwell on the truths of God, which are noble, positive, honest, honorable, lovely, virtuous. Paul says to take captive in God's strength every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So instead of just letting anxious, fearful, and untrue thoughts drift through our mind, it is checking each thought through the filter of God's truth found in His Word from the Bible and discerning if what we are thinking about is actually true, honest, and lovely in God's eyes. Because if it is not true, then why are we dwelling on it? If the thought that enters our mind shames and demeans us, then why are we dwelling on it? Why fix our thoughts on untruths or half-truths when we can think on the whole truth of what God is saying instead? And when you do that, you start to think about things that please the Spirit. So when you think fearful thoughts about your circumstances and your future, think on, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. When you're thinking that you are inadequate, think on what God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When everything in your life doesn't seem to be working out the way that you hoped, and you are losing hope, think on this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. When you're thinking about your past sins and that you are unlovable, God says, instead, for you to be convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And all these scriptures lead us to the ultimate hope that we have, and that is thinking about Jesus, His sacrifice, so that we can be forgiven and so that we can experience love, new life, and an eternity with Him and a relationship with Him. And that is something that we can rejoice in and think upon. Think about what God says, because we know that's what's true. And that is what's going to shape our thinking. And when we think on the truths of God and replace it with the thoughts that tear us down and discourage us, we not only see God as great in our lives, but our perspective of our circumstance starts to change and we find healing for our lives. The next thing Paul says is to practice this throughout all things. Paul continues, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So practice choosing not worrying about anything, praying about everything, giving thanks in all things, fixing your mind on good things, and practicing this throughout all things. Do this daily and throughout your day. And when we practice thinking about God's truth and speaking it over our lives, we start to live and make decisions based on this spiritual truth. And though our circumstances may or may not change, nevertheless, we will be in peace because our life is heading towards that of God. And when we have peace, we don't need to worry, because peace is not in whether circumstances are going our way, but peace is in a person, Jesus. And when Paul put his thoughts towards the truths of God, that is why he could say, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Imagine having peace in your mind and being content knowing that the God who is near will care for you. Imagine your life and all that you care about being in the Lord, which means that you don't have to worry. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. See, the rest only comes to us when we come to him. And coming to him allows us to trust in him for everything and everyone that we worry about. You know, we have spent years learning how to do things the way that we have seen it done. We learn how to be angry when we don't get our way. We learn how to worry when things aren't going our way. We learn how to control in order to get our way. And for years, I fell into those traps. There's no wonder why there was no peace in my life. And no wonder why I was always so stressed out and discontent. I spent a majority of my time worrying and trying to control my life in order to get the outcomes that I wanted. And it was so exhausting because in reality, I was trying to play the role of God in my life. But when I learned about Jesus, and I learned that there is a God who is near me, who cares for me, and who is in control, that changed everything. And I was able to set down this huge weight that I was constantly carrying around full of all my worries. And I was able to give it over to the Lord. Every day, it is still a battle to fight my natural tendencies and default thinking of trying to do everything my way and to control. But as I daily practice surrendering to Jesus, he has been rewiring those neural pathways that my default has been believing and I've been defaulting to for so long. But now every time I worry, it is an invitation for me to surrender and to trust God. And that is the same invitation that God is giving you today. In fact, if you find yourself worrying a lot, know that God can redeem your worry for prayer. Because if you worry a lot, and if you can think of all the worst case scenarios that can happen, then you are actually positioned to pray a lot. Because with God, you can now think of all the possibilities that he will use for your good with your circumstances. So don't do life on your own. Know that God cares for you and that you can cast your cares on him as he gives you true peace that can only come from him. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Give thanks in all things. Fix your mind on the good things and practice this throughout all things. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, please give us peace of mind. Our heart and our soul feels like this turbulent sea, so please calm our worried mind. Give us the strength and clarity of mind to fix our thoughts on you. And whenever we're tempted to control, whenever we face our unknowns, to fix our thoughts on you. God, we want to win this war in our minds, and we want our thoughts and our lives to honor you at all times. But that can only begin with you. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins and to transform you, to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you're now a part of the family of God and that you have a relationship with Him, the God of the universe. So please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better, give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God so that you can continue to walk in peace. Now go to love and serve the Lord.